All right. Hello, everybody. What's going on? So today, put out some questions yesterday, or put out a card yesterday, and had some other things come in. You know, what I wanted to do today was spend a little more time about how I actually like consult and coach people, as opposed to this is where you find mold, this is where you find mold. I do a lot of that stuff. And so I'm just kind of feeling like we should talk through, how do we handle things? How do we think through stuff? How do we make decisions? How do we do stuff like that? And so that's what I want to do today on today's AM answer. So that's what we're doing. I did have a couple of questions that came in, and it sort of makes everything make sense. So here we go. I'm going to give you the question and we'll kind of talk through it. So here's one of the questions. What are the symptoms of mold exposure and how do they manifest in daily life? Okay. This is a super common question. A lot of times this question is sort of the driver on whatever action you're going to take to do whatever. So here's the hint. It's not only respiratory symptoms. If that's all that you're looking for in your proof that there's some sort of mold issue, then you're missing 90% of the clues that are going on. Okay. And this all stems back to why dealing with mold illness and trying to get better is so complicated, because our body has multiple systems in our body and mold can impact all of them. It's not like a single place. It's not like I got a cut here, so I have a thing here that hurts, right? That's not how it works. It gets into your body. You have toxins, you have inflammatory triggers that go on. And with that, that will create inflammation and will create responses, immune responses in your body that will go everywhere, right? So some of it will move to your brain. So if you're somebody who has like brain fog or trouble remembering things, or maybe there's mood changes, or there's depression, or you're having trouble sleeping, or all of this stuff. I just named like seven symptoms. And that's just for one system in your body. That's just your brain. Then you have your nervous system, and you have your circulatory system, and you have your respiratory system, and you have your digestive system, and you have your reproductive system. You have all of your hormones that are attached to all of that. And so the point that I'm getting to here is the common symptoms. I wish there was like, yep, this is the, you have these three things, and you know that you've got an issue going on, right? Like, I wish that that's what it was, but unfortunately, it's not like that. So here's kind of the tip and the secret that I use for people to help them explain and sort of understand where things are and if they should be thinking about it, right? If you have, think of it two ways. If you have been sick for an extended period of time and you've tried all the things that all the regular doctors tell you you should be doing and all the stuff that you've tried to figure out, and it hasn't worked, okay? If you have tried everything and your chronic symptoms are still happening, then that is a huge, huge clue that environment is a trigger, because environment will manifest everywhere. And typically what happens is that treatments focus on a symptom, right? So if I have a mold problem that's starting here, an exposure that's here, I'm breathing it in, there's toxins, whatever, and it's causing brain issues here and gut issues here and reproductive issues here and, you know, hormone issues here, typically what you're going to find is that your doctor, your, you know, traditional medicine doctor, they're going to focus on a symptom, right? That's where they're going to focus on. So they'd be like, hey, let's treat this symptom over here. Well, if I just said that I have four different systems in my body that are being impacted, and we're going to focus on trying to fix like my gut, which is over here. Well, that's cool, but that's not causing why it's happening. So now all the treatment and the medications and the diets that you're changing and all the stuff that you're doing to fix this one thing might help with this one thing, but all of these other things are still going to be a problem, because they're all coming from here. They're not coming from here, right? So what we need to really understand is that you have to get to the root cause trigger of what's going on and not treat the symptom. So when we talk about common symptoms, yes, there's things that happen across all these different areas in our bodies, right? What I would kind of challenge you to reframe your thinking on is it's not about the individual symptom. It's about a collection of multiple symptoms across multiple areas of your body. And if that is happening, then that is a huge clue that you have something outside of your internal body going on. Mold is a huge trigger. I'm not gonna sit here and say mold's always a thing for everything, right? There's also, it's really like environmental triggers. You know, I'm a very mold focused person, obviously, for anyone who knows me, but it's beyond that. It's you know, chemicals, it's EMF, it's what the air you're breathing, the water you're drinking. I mean, there's so many things that go into it, right? But it's outside of a symptom set. And usually it's some sort of environmental thing that's going on. And when you address the environmental thing, because that becomes the trigger, all of a sudden, all these four or five things, all of a sudden they all start getting better, right? And this is the story that happens over and over and over again. So hopefully that helps understand that part of it, right? Because a lot of times when I'm working with people and talking to them, the first question that comes up is like, how do I even know if this is a mold thing? Like what is the symptom I'm going to feel that's going to let me know, right? And so this is a better way to look at it. And so just try to think of it that way, and we'll move on. So, all right, here's the next question that came in around this topic of consulting with Brian. And it's, what steps should someone take when deciding to address a mold issue? This is a really loaded question. I actually don't think the person who asked it thought of it that way. I think they thought of it very linearly. The first thing you do is get an inspector, and then the next thing you do is do this, and the next thing you do is remediate. The next thing, that's not it. Like, yeah, that's a piece of it, right? But that's not how you address a problem, okay? This is in life everywhere. This isn't just mold stuff. Like, when you are working on addressing an issue, the first thing, step one you need to do is to take 10 hours to figure out and research what you're actually trying to solve. That's step one. What does that mean, right? And well, before I say what does that mean, why do we have to do that? Because I don't know what I'm actually trying to solve realistically. Then going through and trying to plot out the steps to do it makes no sense at all, because I don't know what I'm actually trying to do, right? So it's something that a lot of us don't think about, but it's something that we should be thinking about, because this is the root driver. This is the core piece that is the point where all of our decisions are now framed off of this one thing. So we better make sure that we know what we're even trying to do, what our end goal is, what our ideal end goal is, like all of that stuff. We need to understand this. And so there are a few parts of this. So I want to break down a couple parts of how to spend your 10 hours. Okay, this is how you spend your 10 hours trying to figure out what you actually want to do. The first thing is sit down with yourself. Don't pull up on your phone. Don't start researching stuff. Don't do any of that. Sit down with yourself and have a conversation. Nobody does this. A lot of people won't do this. We just go straight into somebody else tell me answers. You need to understand for yourself what your goal is. What do you want to happen at the end of this? Okay. So let's go back into mold land, because it's kind of where I hang out. If we're talking about a mold issue, this question was, what's the first steps I need to do to address a mold issue? What does addressing a mold issue mean? What is a successful addressment? Not a word. What is a successful result of you addressing your mold issue? What does that mean? It can mean a lot of things. It can mean I figured out what's in my house and I remediate it and we still get to live here. It can mean, do I just have a problem in my house? Because if I do, I'm going to get up and get the hell out of here. It can mean I just want to fix enough to where I get healthier, but I'm not super concerned about fixing everything. Like, what do you want to happen? And take time to do this. Don't do this like that. Don't sit here and say, okay, this is what I want. Like, really think about it. Future pace your life after whatever this decision is and whatever this solution is. Then start thinking about what your life looks like after that, right? Is your life where you want it to be? Is it better? Could it be better if you address this differently? If the solution that you got was different than the one that you kind of planned in your head, would your future you look back to present you? And now we're getting into time travel here. Present you and future you. Would future you look back to present and be like, yeah, I'm very happy right now with where this ended up? Or would future you look back and be like, we really should have done this differently. We really should have thought this through a little bit better. How many times, everybody raise your hand, give me hearts, give me whatever, give me likes, where you're like, you just dive in, I'm going to fix something. And then at the end, you're like, oh, that's not even what I really wanted to have happen. And I wasted all this time and all this money and all this stuff on this thing. And at the end of the day, that solution wasn't even the right thing for me. And now I got to start all over again because I just didn't take the time to think about it. It's like we're all afraid to sit down and hang out with ourselves. So this is the first step. You have 10 hours of time. Step one, take an hour. Take one of your 10 hours and hang out with yourself without your phone and without distractions and really think about what it is that your problem is and what your ideal solution would be. You got to know that because all paths lead to there, okay? So now the next thing is that we have to actually figure out what the problem is that we're solving, okay? So we could say, we're sitting here, we took our 1 hour. Our 1 hour is, I want to be able to live in my house and I want to stay here. I like it here. like my neighborhood, my kids have friends, I like their school district, I moved here for the school district, whatever. I'm explaining my neighborhood now. And with that, so my solution is I need to be able to live in this house and not be sick. That's my solution. Cool. And we know the way the question was phrased that we're suspecting a mold issue is part of it, right? Because you said, how do I address a mold issue? This probably means you went to a doctor, you did some sort of clinical test, you did a urine test on your own, whatever. And you know the mold is triggering stuff. So we have this, we understand that that's what we're trying to solve. And now we know what we want the solution to end up being for ourselves, right? So now we have to understand what the problem actually is. This is where the bulk of your time is going to be spent, is this, okay? If we don't understand what the problem really is, then if we start plotting out a path to solve this problem and we don't know what it actually is, then we're not going to solve the problem and we're not going to get to what our ideal solution, our ideal resolution is at the end, where future you is looking back with like two hyper, you know, amazing thumbs up, like, hey, good job, past, present you. Present you, past you? Either. I guess stop talking time travel. Okay, so what does this mean? Let's talk about mold issues specifically. Most people think that a mold issue means I have a leak right now that's causing a mold problem. There has to be a water issue that's going on. Most people think that if you take an air sample in a room, that it's going to tell you if you have a mold problem. Most people think that most homes don't have mold problems, and therefore they're just kind of like the corner case. And if they just went somewhere else, things would be better, okay? This is what you're kind of currently coming into. And when you first start spending time of your 10 hours here researching this, that's what you're probably going to see. What we need to understand about research and the internet and all the fun things is there is a bunch of information out there and a lot of it isn't right. And what we need to do during our 10 hours is spend time trying to figure out and weed out the things that seem to be correct versus the things that aren't correct so we can make our decision on what our next step is. You have to take time and research to do this, okay? And how do you do this? The wonderful thing is that we have social media, we have all these fun things, we have the internet, we have a massive computer in our phones, and we can do a whole bunch of stuff, right? So the way that I recommend going about doing it, and this is how I do everything personally, if I'm going to make a decision, if I'm going to get a, you can't see it over here. If I'm going to get, I'll turn this, and I'll show you what this is. This over here is a, on my chair, I don't know if you can see that over there, this thing on my chair over here, there's like a, see my phones and stuff. So that is called a PEMF mat. That's what that is called. It also does a couple other things, but it's called a PEMF mat. It also does infrared heat, and it also does red light therapy. It does some other things on it. It's a really awesome, cool wellness tool in my wellness stack that I do for myself all the time, okay? Now, I didn't just go out and buy a PEMF mat. First, I had to learn what the hell PEMF was, right? So what happened to me is I came across somebody, his name is Gary Brecka. His story is freaking amazing. If you guys haven't had time, go look at it. Go look him up. The guy's story is unreal. He used to work in insurance, like life insurance, and his job was to predict when someone would die down to the month. And then off of that information, the insurance company would then determine if they were going to take on a new, you know, client to insure the person. And if they were going to do it, how much they were going to charge them. This guy literally knows how to look at biomarkers and lab and blood labs and all of this stuff. And he can predict down to the month when someone is going to die. It is freaking nuts, right? And so his story is, imagine if that was your life every day, just looking at stuff. And his thing that he said was like, I would see this person's going to die in 3 years or 5 years. But if they change this one thing, they could live for an extra 10. But he wasn't allowed to tell anybody. He wasn't allowed to go out and actually help people. He worked for the insurance company and they just needed to know when people were going to die so they could figure out their insurance premiums. This is such a nuts story. Like listening to this, I was like, I didn't even know this was a job, but it kind of makes sense, right? So anyways, I hear this guy and I'm like, wow, it's super interesting. And in this interview, he starts talking about things you can do to increase your lifespan, okay? So let's go through this process. What I'm asking is, how do I increase my lifespan and my quality of life through my lifespan? That's now my question, right? So I want to understand what my goal is. Well, my goal is when I'm old, first off, I want to be older. My dad passed away when he was 72. I don't want that to happen to me, right? I want to be in my 90s or 100 or 110. But not only that, I also want to be actually living at that age. I don't want to be sitting in my house bedbound because I can't move and I'm super sick. So my future me is looking back and is like, all right, whatever decision you make, whatever solutions you start making now, if I'm sitting here at 100 years old and I can move around on my own and you know, still enjoy living, then that's awesome, right? So that was step one for me, was figuring out what my goal actually was, like what I wanted to happen, okay? Now, step two is trying to figure out what the problem is. Why does somebody not live that long, right? What are some of the key things that go into that? So I found Gary Brecka in this thing, and I spent way more than 10 hours going into every single thing this guy has ever talked about. Not only listening to him, but then taking the concepts that he's talked about and then researching those concepts, right? And spending 10 hours on every concept, 10 hours on PEMF, 10 hours on red light therapy, 10 hours on oxygen in your system, right? And how disease cannot be present in the presence of oxygen. It's not possible. I didn't know that. These are just amazing, amazing things. I hear people, I see people commenting. The guy's name is Gary Brecka. It's B-R-E-C-K-A. It's amazing. Anyways, so he created a protocol where you can stack these different biohacking processes, and it together has been proven to increase longevity, life, all that stuff, right? So I started researching every single one of these things. And with all of these, there's products and different things you can use to help. So PEMF, just for anybody who's wondering, PEMF basically takes your cells clump together in your body. They get like clumpy like this, and it changes the magnetism of your cells and it pushes them apart. The reason that this is helpful is for the next stages in the superhuman protocol, but basically allows your cells to now absorb all of the oxygen that they're being exposed to instead of only being able to absorb, you know, maybe 70% of it because it's clogged up together. There's other benefits to it, but that's a general concept. It's kind of like grounding, but like a hair different. Anyways, so now I start going through and I start researching everything. And now I know what PEMF is. I know the different frequencies of it. There's all these different frequencies. Different frequencies have different effects on your body. Did I know that before I spent 10 hours diving into it? Nope, I didn't know that. And I found and I researched in all these different places to figure this out. And I did the same thing for red light therapy. And I did the same thing for breath work and breathing. And throughout this process, I actually learned that Gary Brecka did not come up with the superhuman protocol, but was actually created by this other guy. And he was the originator of it. And Gary Brecka just kind of took it. And because he has a platform, it now seems like he made it, but he didn't. Guys, this all happened because I spent some time to learn about the thing that I want to enact, right? And now I know so much about it. And so the reason I'm saying you gotta take time is because you can't go to the first place where information comes up. Because if you go to the first place, you're not necessarily gonna find the right answer. You gotta go to a lot of places. And ultimately what's gonna happen throughout this process is you're gonna find a person, a blog, newspapers don't exist, an online magazine or an online blog or something like whatever that really resonates with you. And as you start reading it and you or watching it or listening to a podcast, whatever it is, you're like, man, this really makes a lot of sense. And these things that I thought, if I had preconceived notions coming in, oh, those are actually like not true. And I understand why they're not true now, right? You have to know the why behind the steps that are going to get taken. Otherwise, somebody's going to come in and tell you to go do something and you're going to do it because you just trust them because they're a certified this or they're a doctor or they're whatever. But if you don't actually know how it works, then you're not going to be able to fact check them, right? You're not going to be able to understand, like, is this real? My wife went in for a physical and she had some blood work done and the doctor comes and says, yeah, there's some autoimmune markers in your blood. But you have no symptoms. So the rule is that you don't treat anything unless you're having problems. So we're just going to keep an eye on it. Now, if you don't know any better, you're like, oh, this doctor, this is what they do. You just keep an eye on it when the symptoms come to you. I know, and a lot of people watching this know, that if you know that you have an autoimmune issue that is happening, why the hell would I wait for symptoms to start manifesting to handle it? It's the stupidest thing ever, right? But I know that because of the world I live in and the doctors I work with and the clients that I have, and so many people have had autoimmune issues. Like, I know that because I have researched it and I'm in the world, right? So we now know that I walked out of that doctor's office. I'm like, well, we're never coming back here again. And then immediately started reaching out to some of my functional doctor friends. I was like, all right, I need to, who's in California here that's near me? My wife needs to go see somebody who actually knows what they're doing. And bam, I got somebody who knew what they're doing. And here we go. Now we're doing things the right way, right? So we need to understand the problem, okay? And then the next thing off of this is that, and it kind of is tied to, is we need to learn the best way to address the problem, okay? What's the right way to do it and what's the wrong way to do it? Now, in the mold world, the wrong way to do it is to walk into a house, don't actually do an inspection, put an air pump in the middle of the room, cross your fingers that it doesn't give you a false negative, which happens 78% of the time when you do that, and hope that something shows up. That's the bad way to do it, right? The good way to do it is to understand where mold grows, why mold grows, how it grows, have an inspector that comes in that knows that and understands that if you don't know where it's coming from, who gives a shit what's floating around the house? Who cares? Because it's going to keep coming back because you don't know where it's coming from. It's the same visual that we had earlier where I have my root cause and then my symptoms are in my brain and my gut and my respiratory tract and my digestive and my reproductive. The same thing in the house. I have a source mold problem behind the wall and it's moving into my bedroom and my bathroom and my HVAC system and here and there. And I happen to walk in all those rooms and now I'm breathing all that stuff, right? It's the same exact concept. And so in the 10 hours of time that you take, and I actually encourage you to take more than 10 hours, but in the 10 hours of time that you take to recap, number one, figure out what you're actually trying to solve. Number two, understand what the problem really is that you're trying to solve. And then number three, figure out the best way to solve that problem. That's it. If you do those three things, you will solve anything. If you know why you're, if you know what you're even trying to do in the first place, you understand the mechanics of how it all works, and then you figure out the right way to do it, it will all line up and you will solve every problem that you have. So that was a very long answer for one question. All right, guys. So I have like two or three more here. I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit here. Okay. God, this is another long one. All right. I'm going to try to go here. Here's another question. Now guys, keep in mind, like, these conversations are the types of conversations that I have, that my team has with clients, with non-clients, whatever. That's beyond the just, do I have mold in my bathroom? Is this picture of this thing mold over here? Should I remediate this thing? It is so much more than that. This whole thing is so much more than that. It's understanding it, and it's being able to create. It's a word I'm looking for. It's being able to make decisions from a holistic point of view instead of being so in the weeds and so focused on one thing. You got to be able to take like a step back and understand a lot of it. And a lot of times that's what we have to do. So this next thing is part of the whole problem that comes up. How can someone overcome common objections or hesitations from family or friends? This happens all the time. Hearts for anybody who's had someone gaslight them, basically, because they just don't understand what they're saying. And so you must be wrong because I don't understand what you're saying. So you must be wrong. That's kind of what's going on here. So I read a book a while ago that talked a lot about this stuff. And here's a big thing I took away from it. Our egos want to protect us from feeling wrong. And in doing so, it will actually guide us to something that is not good for us or not healthy for us or not the right answer if our core internal belief aligns with that, right? So if we say, if our core subconscious belief is that mold is everywhere, can't make you sick, then if you're trying to have a conversation with someone and that's their core belief, good luck. Good luck trying to get them to believe you, because their ego, everyone has an ego. It's all back here. We all have an ego. Their ego wants to be right. Nobody's ego wants to feel wrong. Nobody wants to have their ego shot. We all have one internally. You subconsciously want to be right 100% of the time. You want to be right. You want to feel every decision that you've ever made in your life is the right decision. This is fact. This is true. This is a real talk. This is this is like science and psychology and understanding like how we process stuff, right? So if someone's ego is not in the right place to hear you, then good luck. So what do we need to do? Okay. There's two ways to look at this. One is, does their opinion even freaking matter? That's step one. There really is only one or two people's opinions that truly impact your ability to move forward on any decision that you make. And then everybody else's opinion means absolutely nothing. Your friends' opinions mean nothing at all. They have no impact on how you live your life. They don't pay for your stuff. They don't live with you. If you want to go out and do something different, who cares? Their life is not changing. So what you need to understand is their ego is in a point where they don't understand what you are saying. And so for them to feel like they're 100% right all the time, they're going to tell you that you're wrong. That's what they're going to do. Okay. So we understand why they're doing it. Then we know that it doesn't really matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter at all what they're saying. So that's the first thing. This is the biggest thing. Figure out if their objections or hesitations even matter. And I'm telling you that 99% of people that are pushing back on you do not matter. Your relationship will be fine. Everything will be great. Their lives won't change. As long as their lives don't change and their life isn't made more difficult by this, then who gives a crap what's going on with you? They might judge you for a minute or two. And if you don't like that, then tell them to go kick the curb. And if they're a good friend, at some point, they'll be like, ah, you know what? They're into this. Let them be into it. It's not affecting our relationship. That's cool, right? And that's what will happen. Now, there are the very, very small percentage of people that may matter. People that you live with and or people that you are financially tied to, right? That's it. Those are really the two people that matter in this. So we had to kind of talk through. So this is your spouse, basically, right? It's not even your kids so much. Like your kids, if they live with you, they're kind of stuck with you. They live with you until they're old enough, right? It's not even them so much. It's really your partner in life, if you have one. If you don't have one, then nobody should really matter at that point. And if you do have one, then you got to start figuring out how do we help reshape this person's ego response? How do we help reshape their core beliefs, so then their ego can now become aligned with it, and then you guys can have conversations going through, right? And this is like a huge conversation. I'm not a psychologist, right? I'm not going to talk in like tactics of how to talk to your spouses and this and that, because I don't know, right? But I do know the core understanding of how we process things. And so I'm going to give you a couple examples. There's two main ways that somebody is going to push back. The first is denial, and the second is rationalization. Okay, so I'm going to walk through each of them. Denial. This is like the most classic defense mechanism, all right? Because it's super easy to use. You literally just like, I don't believe you. That's not true. Like it's so easy, right? You could just do that. And basically, what they're doing is like anything that is true, it just simply is claimed to be false. And like it's just going to make everything go away. Basically, it's like acting as if a negative fact like doesn't exist. This is the, I'm going to stick my head in the sand and hope nothing bad happens because it just isn't real. This can't happen, right? And a lot of times we don't realize that we do this. And especially in situations that are really dire, they just seem like so like fantastical and just out of the range of possibilities for us, right? So then all you have to say, you just have to say no often enough, and then you start to believe yourself. I actually have memories in my childhood that I know are not real because I told myself what I wanted it to be, specifically like, you know, when I was a kid and trying to make sure that I, you know, was like telling the right story or something like that and I didn't get in trouble. The story that I created is now the story that happened. I don't even know the real thing that happened. I like to look back on this and realize that this is something that I did. I have a couple times in my life where I have a story that I know is not true, but I don't know what the real story was. This is a part of denial. This is what can happen. That's how strong it is, right? You're actually changing your reality when you do this. And it's why this defense mechanism is the most dangerous one. Because even if there is this dire issue, I am literally, my body is freaking out and I am sick and my skin's doing this and I can't have kids and my hair's falling out and I can't remember anything. And my kid has developed PANS, like all of these dire, terrible situations. And it's ignored and it's not fixed because you just go straight to denial. Okay. So what is a solution for someone who is in denial? Now, remember, denial is rooted in what their core belief of the problem is, right? So what we need to do is get back to the root cause. Root cause is like literally everything. Get back to the root belief. The core belief is the root cause, and figure out how to shift that. Figure out how to make them realize that it's not true. You can't tell them. Telling them isn't going to do it. They need to come to the realization that it's not true. Okay. So the biggest way to do this, especially in the denial phase, is to just show them undeniable proof over and over and over and over again, to the point where their ego is like, I've seen a lot of things here that's telling me that I might be wrong. I don't like how that feels. I don't like to be wrong. I'm going to push back harder. No, it's not true. God, he just showed me like four or five other things. It's a lot of stuff. That's actually more stuff that's saying that this is actually a new truth as opposed to what my core belief really was. And at some point, their core belief changes. And when their core belief changes, you can now have real conversations with them. So denial, this is kind of a trick, a way to sort of help in denial, right? So if you're working with a spouse or something like that, it's clinical lab results. It's home tests. It's medical research papers that have been created. It's videos from me, from other doctors. It's other people who are sick and going through this too and having their stories. Like, you're going to have to do a little work. You're not going to be able to tell them to go do this on their own because they don't want to. Their ego does not want to be wrong. So they're definitely not going to go out and try to find information that's going to contradict their core beliefs. They're not going to do it. You have to do it. Okay. And it's not easy, and it'll be easier for some than others, but this is a way to go about doing this. All right. Now, the next way is rationalization. This is the other sort of defense mechanism that comes up. So this is when you explain something away negative. Now, the difference here is that you're admitting that it's negative. Okay. That's the big difference between denial and rationalization. Denial, you're not admitting that it's a negative thing. Rationalization, you're admitting that it's negative, but you're really good at making excuses. That's what rationalization is. So it's the same issue. It turns something that's unavoidable, or turns something into something unavoidable because of circumstances you can't control. Like, that's the concept of what this is. So that means anything bad in the world is not your fault. Why? Because your ego can't be wrong. So if anything that isn't going the way that I want it to go is happening, it must be somebody else's fault. It's not my fault. It is happening. It is not working. That is true, but not because of me. I'm perfect. I'm Brian's ego. Ding. Like, that's it, right? So here, it's a little different. Here, they need to feel like that the stakes have to impact. It's very easy to deny something, or not deny, sorry, to rationalize something when you're not feeling any pain or any symptom or any repercussion of it, right? This happens all the time. I have mold, honey, we got to figure out this mold problem. Babe, mold's everywhere. It's a thing. Mold's just all the time. We've had mold ever since we were cavemen, and everybody's been alive for such a long time. So everything's cool. Like, yeah. Now, what if that person had a repercussion that was tied to it? Now, we can't make someone get sick, but if they were feeling the sickness, their tune would definitely change, right? But there's other repercussions that we can tie to it, right? The relationship is a repercussion that can go to it. There's financial repercussions that can go. There's a lot of things that can happen. They need to have stakes in the game. If they don't have stakes in the game, there's no reason for them to change or rationalize it, right? So we got to figure out what the stakes are. For every person, it's going to be different. But if you can figure out a way to create some stakes that are attached to the person that you're trying to help with this to reshape their opinion and their view on something, then that's sort of an approach to attack rationalization. So those are a couple tips that'll help you out there. All right. So I've got, it's been going on forever. I'm just going to do one more here real quick. That's all I have time for. And we'll go from there. So the last one here, why can't I rely on a DIY mold test to tell me everything that I need to know? Why can't it be that easy? God, I wish it could be that easy. You ever heard the phrase, it's too good to be true? There's a reason that phrase exists, because stuff is not that easy, all the time. If things were that easy, everyone would be rich, everyone would be healthy, everyone would have everything that everybody actually wants. The reason that not everybody has everything that everybody actually wants is because it's not easy to get everything that everybody actually wants. I said that fast. That was good. I feel like I'm getting delirious right now. So take that back. Do I wish there was one test that would tell you if you have a mole problem, how bad it is, exactly where every single one of them is, exactly what you need to do to fix all of them? That'd be freaking awesome. It's not real. It's not a real thing. Okay. There is not one single test, DIY or the test that we do, there's not one individual single test that will tell you everything that you need to know to handle everything properly or even understand what's going on. What we need to do is create a plan that looks at the strengths of individual tests and the weaknesses of those same tests and do that for all the different tests at our disposal and create a plan that fits like a puzzle. And if you fill in the weaknesses with strengths from other test types and you create a very strong strategy around testing, now you can have all of your answers, but it takes time, okay? Think about going to the doctor and running your medical labs, right? You don't just run one blood test and know every single thing that's wrong in your body. It doesn't work like that. It's the same thing in a house. It's the same thing everywhere, right? It's not one thing. You might have to do a stool test to understand what's going on in your gut. You might need to do a urine test to understand what toxins you're excreting. You might need to do a blood test to try to figure out inflammatory markers and other things like that. You might need to do an x-ray to get a look at something to figure out if there's actually something wrong somewhere, right? A brain scan. You might need to do a breathing and stress test where you're like running on a breathing to figure out how your body is responding to exertion and stress that you're putting on it. That's not one test. That is a full workup. There's a reason in the medical world there's a phrase called a workup. We need to do a whole workup. Yeah. A whole workup means there's not one magic pill. There's not one magic test. There's not one magic anything. This goes for everything in life. If somebody in anything comes in and tells you this one thing makes everything that you ever dreamed of work, they are wrong. It's not true. And I'll wait for the day that it is. And if you guys know something where it's one single thing that makes all of your issues tied to that problem work, please tell me because I want to go get whatever that thing is. All right. Let me tell you a quick story about this conceptually, right? So I mean, I've had so many clients who come in where we aren't the first people that have come into their house, right? We're the second or the third or the fourth company that's come into their house. Like, well, we had an inspector come in and they did air samples in every room and they said everything was fine, thinking that this one air sample in the middle of this giant room is going to tell me everything is behind every single wall, ceiling, floor, cabinet. And it's also going to tell me what's setting, what's floating, what's over here in the corner, what's down over here. And this one test apparently is going to tell me all that stuff. And they come in and they're like, everyone says that our house is fine. There's nothing going on here. And then we go into their house and we find 10, 15, 20 mold problems, like literally source problems of mold in the same house. This happens all the time, right? So this is why we can't rely on a single test, whether it's mold related or whether it's body related or even like a single anything that's going to be the magic solution to anything, right? So hopefully that helps. So this wraps up consulting time with Brian, which has been 40 minutes. So guys, this is like what our calls are. This is what my calls are like with people. This is what my like top level consultants, that's what their calls are like with people, right? But we can't really have these conversations. So we're kind of in it and we know what's going on, you know? And then you start understanding like, what are your issues? Like specifically, oh, I need to do this, but like, God, my husband just isn't on board. Cool, let's talk through some ways that we can maybe help show them some of the stuff that, you know, that we just talked through, right? Or, you know, I had all these other people come in my house and nothing's going on. Oh, cool. This is why it didn't work, because we know that air samples have a 78% fail rate when there's a mold problem 3 feet away. We know that. So that's why it didn't work. So let's talk through the way that you do it, right? But everybody's situation is different. And this is where the consulting piece comes in. Like, we inspect. Yeah, we inspect. That's why we're called that. We inspect and figure out where the problems are. But it's so much more than that. So much more than that. That's like one piece of the puzzle. And then it's figuring out like how to help someone navigate the whole thing. And that's a really big piece of it. So hopefully you guys took a lot out of this. This was a really good one. I went on for a bit. I feel pretty good. I feel like I got a lot of stuff out. I feel like I scratched my itch for the day. So anyway, everyone, thank you. Have a good one. We'll talk to all you guys later.